Part 1. Night Train to Vienna. Chapter 1. Budapest, Hungary. None of it would have come to pass. Not the desperate quest for the traitor, not the strained alliances nor the needless deaths, were it not for poor Heathcliff. He was their tragic figure, their broken promise. In the end, he would prove to be yet another feather in Gabriel's cap. That said, Gabriel would have preferred that Heathcliff were still on his side of the ledger. Assets like Heathcliff did not come along every day, sometimes only once in a career, rarely twice. Such was the nature of espionage, Gabriel would lament. Such was life itself. It was not his true name, Heathcliff. It had been generated at random, or so his handlers claimed by computer. The program deliberately chose a code name that bore no resemblance to the asset's real name, nationality, or line of work. In this regard, it had succeeded. The man to whom Heathcliff's name had been attached was neither a foundling nor a hopeless romantic, nor was he bitter or vengeful or violent in nature. In truth, he had nothing in common with Bronte's Heathcliff other than his dark complexion, for his mother was from the former Soviet Republic of Georgia, the same republic, she was proud to point out, as Comrade Stalin, whose portrait still hung in the sitting room of her Moscow apartment. Heathcliff spoke and read English fluently, however, and was fond of the Victorian novel. In fact, he had flirted with the idea of studying English literature before coming to his senses and enrolling at the Moscow Institute for Foreign Languages, regarded as the second most prestigious university in the Soviet Union. His faculty advisor was a talent spotter for the SVR, the Foreign Intelligence Service, and upon graduation, Heathcliff was invited to enter the SVR's academy. His mother, drunk with joy, placed flowers and fresh fruit at the foot of Comrade Stalin's portrait. "He is watching you," she said. "One day you will be a man to be reckoned with, a man to be feared." In his mother's eyes, there was no finer thing for a man to be. It was the ambition of most cadets to serve abroad in a residentura, an SVR station, where they would recruit and run enemy spies. It took a certain type of officer to perform such work. He had to be brash, confident, talkative, quick on his feet, a natural seducer. Heathcliff, unfortunately, was blessed with none of these qualities, nor did he possess the physical attributes required for some of the SVR's more unsavory tasks. What he had was a facility for languages. He spoke fluent German and Dutch as well as English, and a memory that even by the SVR's high standards was deemed to be exceptional. He was given a choice, a rarity in the hierarchical world of the SVR. He could work at Moscow Center as a translator, or serve in the field as a courier. He chose the latter, thus sealing his fate. It was not glamorous work, but vital. With his four languages and a briefcase full of false passports, he roamed the world in service of the motherland, a clandestine delivery boy, a secret postman. He cleaned out dead drops, stuffed cash into safe deposit boxes, and on occasion even rubbed shoulders with an actual paid agent of Moscow Center. It was not uncommon for him to spend 300 nights a year outside Russia, leaving him unsuited for marriage or even a serious relationship. The SVR provided him with female comfort when he was in Moscow, beautiful young girls who under normal circumstances would never look at him twice, but when traveling, he was prone to bouts of intense loneliness. It was during one such episode, in a hotel bar in Hamburg, that he met his Catherine. She was drinking white wine at a table in the corner, an attractive woman in her mid-30s, light brown hair, suntanned arms and legs. Heathcliff was under orders to avoid such women while traveling. Invariably, they were hostile intelligence officers or prostitutes in their employ. But Catherine did not look the part, and when she glanced at Heathcliff over her mobile phone and smiled, he felt a jolt of electricity that surged from his heart straight to his groin. "Care to join me?" she asked. "I do hate to drink alone." Her name was not Catherine. It was Astrid. At least that was the name she had whispered into his ear while running a fingernail lightly along the inside of his thigh. She was Dutch, which meant Heathcliff, who was posing as a Russian businessman, was able to address her in her native language. After several drinks together, she invited herself to Heathcliff's room, where he felt safe. He woke the next morning with a profound hangover, which was unusual for him. And